When I say, thank you, Lord, for healing me, you know what it does? It doesn't make me totally healed. Well, it might through a miracle, but it doesn't necessarily make me immediately healed. But you know what it does? It tilts my heart towards being healed. If I say, oh God, I'm so sick, guess which way your heart is going? What are you doing when you enter a stress zone and an obstacle, an overwhelming odd comes against you? Do we capitulate? Don't do it. Never give up. Because he's hardwired into you the ability to overcome.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne will tell you something that perhaps you never realized before, that there is a champion in you. You may not feel like it. You may feel defeated, worthless, like you'll never amount to anything. But take it from God's word. There is a champion in you, just waiting to be released. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Champion in You.
The prophet Samuel was told by God that there was going to be another king, and the king would be one of the sons of Jesse. So he goes to Jesse's house, and he says, I need to talk to your sons, because one of them is going to be king. Well, he lines all of them up. Samuel goes down one after another, and God says, nope, not this one, nope. All the way to the end, and he says to Jesse, do you have any more kids? He says, well, yeah, I got a scrawny kid, but he's out there tending sheep. He just plays with his slingshot all day long. He's got like 10 models of slingshots for different yardage and stuff. He's like crazy. And then he plays this electric harp. And he's got these kids that are playing with him in this music. He calls them not songs, but psalms. And he just writes all of these psalms. And I mean, he's got this group. I think they call themselves the Sheep Fuzz. But other than that, they're all right. But I don't think he's the one you're looking for. Go get him. I wonder what's inside of him. Go get him. So he gets David, and David comes, and he's ruddy and curly hair. And God says, that's the one. Because when other people see a shepherd boy, I see a king. And you go with what I see, not with what anybody else sees. Because I've designed him to be a king. I hardwired it into him when he was created. See, in Jeremiah 1:5, it says this, Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew you. When you were yet in your mother's womb, I called you by name and appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. When he was still a seed. So he said, you'll go get David. Now, when David would take the throne, he would be anointed that day, but 19 chapters later would be when he would take the throne. There's some preparation that had to be done. Maybe some potential that needed to surface, be developed, to be practiced, to be honed before he actually took the throne. And when he became that anointed king, you know, it didn't start off with a regal robe and a golden crown and ivory throne and satin sheets and scrumptious meals. No, it started off with overwhelming odds, stress, blockages, setbacks. He would be hunted down like a fugitive, hated and despised and held in suspicion. However, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians. It says, there is going to be no testing that has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. Temptations are testing. And God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, without providing a way of escape that you may endure it. Now, that last phrase is important. You see, God doesn't give you something you can't handle in order for you to avoid it, hinder it, run away from it, scamper from it. No, he will give you a power to endure it, to be able to go through it. You see, God is our creator and our designer. And when he created you and designed you before you were even born, he created you in his image, or the Hebrew is in his imagination. He saw you years before you were born. He saw you, every single one of us. And he has a plan, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They're not plans for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope. So he designed your life from stem to stern, from bumper to bumper, and listen very carefully. He took into account everything that you are about to face the sufferings, the setbacks, the sicknesses, the losses, the dreams that are shattered. He took all of those into account. And with all of those, he put in the power to overcome it. Because God would never put something in you so that you would suffer and then you would fall prey and be destroyed by it. No. But he gave you the strength and he put in that potential in, at every point. Your ability to forgive, to repent, to rise above. He put all of those ingredients in there. And then you know what he did? He looked at your life and said, it is good. And then he took your life and he crushed it. And he put it into a seed. And with that, you were conceived. But in that is the DNA, everything necessary that he saw in you to become the purpose that he created you to be. To fulfill that purpose, he would not create you to be unfulfilled. But everything that you need, God put in latent form, in potential form, and he put it in you. It's in you. I wonder what lies within you. And then God has you born and places you in a place just like this. And he says, now start to develop it. You'll do it. Just go for it. For the Bible says that God has given to every man a measure of faith. Now, inside of us is the ingredients to overcome. And then when you hit an obstacle, a setback, what is it designed to do? To destroy you? No. It helps you to cause that thing inside of you to rise up. The faith, the strength, the endurance, the character. If you had nothing to be there like an obstacle, you wouldn't need to raise anything up. You wouldn't need to realize what's inside of you. Sometimes we say, look at this obstacle. It's going to destroy me. No, it will develop you. When you hit an obstacle, it's like God saying, you have yet to discover what I put inside of you to overcome that. Now you can give up. The devil cannot defeat you. The only one that can defeat you is you. The devil has not been given authority to defeat you. The Bible says the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. But you can give him permission. And you can defeat yourself by actually saying that you're defeated. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, I'll never overcome this. Oh, I don't know. You know, we'll all face obstacles. Question is, will you bow to those? Or will you say, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know the plans God has for me, declared the Lord. Plans not for my calamity, but for my welfare. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Question is, what are you saying? Are you seeing things the way God sees it or the way that the world sees it? He will give us strength, not to avoid or run or hide, but to bear it. You know, when Jesus faced the cross, his human side came out. Did you know that he fell on his knees and said, God, if there's any way that you can get this cross to be removed, man, that'd be really good. In fact, it was so emotionally traumatic for him that the Bible says he began to sweat drops of blood. It was that traumatic. But then he paused and said, but you know what? Nevertheless, not my will, yours be done. What is your will? Do you understand how he switched gears? God doesn't demean us for having feelings and emotions. He's just saying, don't let your feelings or emotion determine your life. Don't let it determine your decisions. Don't let it hold you hostage and then give up what God has hardwired into you to defeat yourself. No, you need to be able to say, that's how I feel, but that's not who I am. Never mistake this. Where you are is not who you are. Who you are is what God designed you to be, what he's hardwired you to be. And he's created us in his image, and he's given you the power to overcome. I wonder what lies in you. I don't want us to end up at the end of our lives with regret, saying I shoulda, I coulda, I woulda. And the same power that when Jesus bore the cross and God raised him from the dead. Did you know that that same power is in you? In fact, let's read it together. It'll come up on the board. Would you read it with me? Go. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Did you know that the same power, the power of resurrection, is in you? I wonder if you recognize that. Well, how do I get it to surface? Obstacles. When you are at an overwhelming impasse and you've got to trust God because there's no other way, or you can give up. Can I encourage you? Don't give up. There's some of you right now facing overwhelming odds and you're about ready to give up. Maybe not so much physically, but in your heart. And you're going to start to live in a consolation bracket and you start to live with a cautious faith. Can I just say this? Don't give up. Some years ago, Winston Churchill was speaking at a high school graduation. He came late, prestigious graduation, yet he would come in the back door and with his overcoat and his hat, put his stogie aside, his cane, came up to the front, took off his hat and overcoat, sat down. It was time for him to speak, standing ovation, and he had everyone sit down. He gave the shortest speech, but the most memorable speech of all. He got up to the podium and he looked out over the students graduating. And he said, never, never, never give up. Never, never give up. Never, this is his third point, never give up. He put on his overcoat, top hat, picked up his cane, and left. You know, the shortest speech of all, but I still remember it as I read it in his book. And if I were to say anything to this church at this time, my message would be, never give up. Don't do it, because the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwelleth in you. And he will quicken your mortal bodies. And the only way you're going to find out what lies within you is if you never give up. If the devil can get you to give up, then you forfeit that power that God has put within you. You're going to have to choose from three zones in which you live. The three zones would be this. The first zone is called your comfort zone. Everybody loves a comfort zone. Sit in a hammock, maybe with a drink or remote control. I just like the convenience of it all. That's desirable for us, you know, that's agreeable to me. That's my default. But if you live there too long, you stunt your life and you ruin your future. You forfeit what God has for you. It's okay to rest there. It's not okay to live there. You don't dwell there. You can get some solitude there, but don't make that your home. Don't make that your goal in life. How many people just hope for retirement and then 4 years later, they're dead? No, comfort zone is important for rest, not for dwelling. But then we like to stay there because the next zone is not as welcoming, but you need to live here. And it's called a stretch zone, where your faith is going to be stretched a little bit. Your patience is going to be stretched, but that's where growth and maturity happen. That's where you learn obedience and you start practicing the slingshot. You start honing your gifts. You see, there's a big difference between agreeing with God and obeying God. A lot of times we agree with God, which means when God asks you to do something and you want to do it anyway, you agree with God. Obeying God is when he asks you to do something you don't want to do, but you do it by faith anyway. You know, a lot of us have agreed with God, but we haven't obeyed God for probably 5 years. So we mold a God into our image and get him into our comfort zone. And we never experience the stretch zone where we grow in maturity. And so God is saying, come on, raise the bar. I tell our students, I say, here's your only job description for today. Here it is. Are you ready? Only one thing to do today. That is this. Be better than you were yesterday. Be a better person than you were yesterday. the attitude that you had or the disposition or the disbelief, get better. And even if you did it just 1% a day after a year, you will be 300% better than you were last year. 300 plus, my math were right, 365% better. That's your job today. Be just a little bit better than you were yesterday. And if you do that, you'll see your faith start to grow. You'd be surprised. I wonder what's inside of you. Some years ago, when Hayward Field wasn't the technological, you know, beauty, architectural beauty that it is today, it was just a track with a field in between. And I was playing soccer in the middle of Hayward Field. And there were some people training for the what's going on right now, by the way, the Olympic trials. And so there was one guy down 10 months before the Olympic trials, but he was practicing high jumping with the Fosbury flop. And he had the bar at about 5 feet, 2 inches. And 5 feet, 2 inches, you know, that's like right about here to me, right? Right about here. And so he was jumping 5'2", and I noticed there that the next day or so, it would be up at 5'3". And then he'd raise it to 5'4", and then 5'5". As the months went by and the trials got closer, it was up to 6, it was up to 6 feet right about here. And I thought, you know what? I don't know this guy, but I'm going to go to the meet because I've been watching him for 10 months. So I go to the meet and they raise the bar to 6'4". 6'4", and everyone else faulted out. This guy faulted out twice, and then I remember him talking to the coach about his head and the arch of his back and the timing of the flick of his foot. And then when it was done, he walked up to the bar almost as if like he was making a deal with it. And then he began his slow semicircular run with that exaggerated gait that goes towards that bar. And then he sped up, and then it's like he burst into flight. Kaboom, he went over that bar, cleared it. I was so excited, I started crying. I wanted to run down there and hug him. I don't know you, but I just love you. And you know, when it was done, I went home and I thought, you know, when that guy was, when he was jumping 5'2", he had 6'4 inside of him. But he would have never have known that that 6'4 was inside of him if he hadn't been willing to what? Raise the bar a little bit more and try it again. You see, some of you are here and you're down at 3'4", 2'1". You're like, oh man, that hurt my back a little bit there. I don't think anybody else could jump that, so I'm good to go. No. God is saying there's 6'4 inside of you, but you're unwilling to raise the bar. You gave up. I wonder what's inside of you. God hardwired that into you. And look, if all of us lived up to our potential in this room, do you understand what could happen to this community? And God is calling us to be a people who say, I'll never give up. Because sooner or later, you're going to reach something called the stress zone. The stress zone is when people need you, your family needs you at your best. See, one of the things we have to do is change the way we think. Because you're going to meet those things in the stress zone. But that's where that champion rises, see? Your faith is tested. And now that may just be what God has been building in you for. So that you'll rise at that moment. But you got to change the way you look at things. Remember, you don't see with your eye, you see with your brain. Your eye is just an ocular lens that transmits a picture to your brain. It's your brain that decides it's good or bad, evil or hopeful, whatever. It's you, it's your mind. And if we think poorly, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. If you don't think you can, that's why you ain't. If you don't think you're good enough, that's why you aren't good enough. If you think you're never going to make it and you'll never bounce back, that's why you won't. You'll never come back to that level that you were before that mistake. I say, no, no, you get better from that. That's why that happened, so that God will say, there's more in you, isn't there? Yeah, then dig deep, because that potential is what I gave to you. Now develop it like David did in the back of that desert. You keep honing it and honing it and honing it, because there's going to be a Goliath that's going to come into your life, and that's where it's in the stress zone, but you'll be ready by then. Change the way you talk to yourself. Don't pray in words like, oh man, God, I'm so sick. That's why you is. I can't stand this family anymore. No, change it. Instead of saying, I'm so sick, say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you're healing me. I know you're healing me, God. Thank you, God, that you're providing for me. Thank you, God, that things are getting better and brighter. Thank you that things are changing. I don't see any way through right now, but you see the other side. So give me your eyes. Thank you. See, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, the reason he puts that in is when I say, thank you, Lord, for healing me, you know what it does? It doesn't make me totally healed. Well, it might through a miracle, but it doesn't necessarily make me immediately healed. But you know what it does? It tilts my heart towards being healed. If I say, oh God, I'm so sick, guess which way your heart is going? What are you doing when you enter a stress zone and an obstacle, an overwhelming odd comes against you? Do we capitulate? Don't do it. Never give up. Because he's hardwired into you the ability to overcome. Question is, will you take it? Don't give up. Don't give up. You keep your eye fixed on the goal. Don't let the devil fool you and steal your future. It's time we say, Lord, the spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. And you would only bring an obstacle into my life because you knew that you had already wired in me the potential to overcome it. And the only way I get that potential into reality is with this situation. Lord, I will rise up. And in doing so, you start to grow from faith to faith, glory to glory, and we become the bride of Christ in all her glory. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, would you, as we close? Please know that at the end of every service, we'll always have a prayer team here that you can access for prayer, for anointing with oil, anything. And also, we always want to give an opportunity for those who need to receive Christ. And so if you want to receive Christ and say, you know, I don't know if I died today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, go ask them and they'll pray with you a salvation prayer. But before that, let's all bow our heads and let's all pray. Father, thank you so much for an amazing church. We ask your blessings on each and every one as we go from this place. There are those that are wrestling with mountains that have to be moved. And we're kind of losing a little bit of steam. Father, would you inspire and ignite afresh our faith today? That one of the reasons that we can become all you want us to be, created us to be, designed us to be, is when we face these things. So you would never, never give us something that we couldn't overcome because you hardwired it already into us, the potential to rise up. And so, Lord, we'll do exactly that. Thank you for putting that within us. And now we want to be faithful in developing that so that we might fulfill the purpose that you have called us to do. We thank you for these things. Now may we leave differently from when we arrived. I pray that you'll weave this lesson into the very fabric of our souls as we go and face what you're asking us to face so that we'll become bigger and the problems become smaller. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Can you say amen? Seal that with a clap offering, would you?
You've been listening to a message entitled The Champion in You by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
When I say, thank you, Lord, for healing me, you know what it does? It doesn't make me totally healed. Well, it might through a miracle, but it doesn't necessarily make me immediately healed. But you know what it does? It tilts my heart towards being healed. If I say, oh God, I'm so sick, guess which way your heart is going? What are you doing when you enter a stress zone and an obstacle, an overwhelming odd comes against you? Do we capitulate? Don't do it. Never give up. Because he's hardwired into you the ability to overcome.
Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.